This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
And so the 1st of February has been picked to be the day where you would see five governorship candidates in Rivers State go on a debate before Rivers people and the rest of the country ahead of the elections in March. Who would you vote for? Well, people say largely debates play a critical role in helping people decide who they cast their vote for. Do you agree with that? My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Good morning. And today we're looking at the 1st of February Rivers debate, Rivers governorship debate. And in the studio with me is a guest who's also a partner of the Rivers Debate Group. Now, remember that the Rivers Debate Group had invited the governorship candidate of Accord Party. Yesterday, they went to see the governorship candidate of Labour Party, Beatrice Otubo, who is to participate in the upcoming debate. And the chairman of the group, Ibifri Bob Manuel, said they decided to include the Labour Party candidate in the list of the five selected candidates because they believe in gender equality. We had put up a post for you to vote five out of seven candidates. Well, four were initially picked by the Rivers Debate Group, and then for some reasons the Labour Party candidate was included, and he says it has a lot to do with gender equality. And looking at the fact that she's only the only female governorship candidate, well, all of that we'll be discussing on the show this morning. My guest is from the Social Action Group, Peter Mazi. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Fumi.
And I know that they are social action partners with the Rivers Debate Group. Quickly, before we go further, remember, social media at Nigeria Info PH, you can be a part of the conversation. And we're asking you to tell us what your opinion is on this particular issue. And much has been said about debates, but in your view, with all the emphasis on debates, do you think Nigerians really vote based on performance of candidates during debates? That's the question we're asking you on Facebook, so you can go there and let us know what you think. Do you think Nigerians really vote based on the performance of candidates during debate? Mazil, let's get your reaction to that question first. What's your view about it? We've been having debates for a while, presidential level and governorship level.
Yeah.
And most of the times, you don't even have some candidates attend and they emerge victorious at the elections. Other times, some attend, they don't even do too well with how they present their ideas or manifesto to the people. They still eventually emerge winners of the election. So, do you think that this influences how Nigerians vote? I mean, debates.
Well, when it comes to voting in a Nigerian context, we have, not just in Nigerian context, we have different sentiments, different reasons, different biases that people consider why voting. We have some categories that are just, you know, diehard party members. Okay. In one of the studios that was yesterday, somebody said that it doesn't matter what his candidate, his capacity of his candidate, as long as his principal is there, is going to vote. These are diehard party members.
Mm.
There are others who are, may consider them to be undecided voters, who want to really know, especially at the time we are in, where we have the kind of attitude we had towards voting has brought us to the point where the economy, I mean, is in the point we are in today. Everybody in Nigeria knows where we are today. And people want to know why we have to vote certain people. And so for those class of people, for those categories of people, and there are many, you know, who want to really vote based on the capacity of the candidates. Those are the ones that we actually are trying to project these candidates to. And I believe that this year, more than any other year, you can see the number of the increase of registration of voters that also point to the fact that people actually want to make a change, and you cannot make a change if you don't know what the capacity of the candidates are.
But mainly we said that's why they have campaigns. That's why they go from local government to local government to speak to the people. It's why they go for door-to-door sensitization in some cases. This all aimed at telling the people what they want to do and how they seek to do it. So what makes a debate different from that?
Okay, for a rally and what you see in the stadium, you know, people gather, and it's just a monologue. And if you follow the parties and the kind of statement that come out of the candidates, you know that they don't achieve much with those kind of arrangements. Instead of telling people what they do, you hear those people, you have them making allegations and name calling and all that. But even if they say, okay, this is what we're going to do, in a debate or maybe a town hall, but especially for a debate now, we're not asking just what you're going to do. It's a house. So why in the rally, you know, you might just say what, but in the debate, you can ask how. And for this debate especially, we have questions coming in from the different sectors and subsectors of the economy. And so people want to understand how your policy will play, say, in the medical sector, how your policy will play into the educational subsector. And so those questions are harvested from, you know, people working in that area and organizations and groups working in those areas. So the questions would ask how you intend to do so. Especially that, like now, for instance, one of the things that people speak to is human capital development and how the Rivers State has one of the highest number of unemployment rates in Nigeria, according to polls. So people want to know how, what you intend to do and how you intend to do them. So those hows are what the debates will actually speak to.
All right. Now, so many people did not feel pleased with the fact that out of the whole 15 candidates, we'll be hearing from five. And many felt like, well, there are other candidates that might have quite a lot that they also want to share with Rivers people, with their plans towards, you know, making the state better if they eventually get to the brick house.
That's right.
How are you managing this? I mean, are there going to be platforms for the other candidates to also be on a platform where people can hear them? Or is it just going to be with this five?
Okay.
What's the yastic behind it?
Okay, well, we hope that we could have been able to present all the gubernatorial candidates for all the parties. But you know how it will be to put 17 or maybe 18 people in a podium.
You could do it part by part. What if we had a situation where maybe one day we have, well, five candidates, since there are 15, another day another five, another day another five?
That is possible, but also consider that it requires a lot of financial resources. This debate, I can't give you the figures because of certain reasons, but it's very costly. I mean, it's capital intensive to organize a debate of this magnitude. We have donors within the states and international donors. Mm-hmm. Even then, you know, we had to go through a lot to pull this out. It's very expensive. So even if we had resources to do that, yes, we'll have wanted to do that. But because we are working within the constraint of the resources available unto us.
So what was the criteria for the four or five?
Okay. We set out to get five candidates. Initially, we have a committee within the Rise Debate Group, the media committee, who are responsible for getting feedbacks or getting inputs from the citizens and the public through their social media. And so our partners, Cool FM, Nigeria Info, which is nearly part of partners, Super FM, have these polls on their social media, and then citizens voted. Now, so we aggregated the scores at the time the poll ended. The aggregate of the scores of the first four, in no particular order, but the first four, you know, that emerge from the counting of the votes, you know, we are invited for the debate. And then we, as a policy, before that time, as a policy, as our social inclusive policy, we have decided that initially it was even seven was cut down to five.
Yes,
first
it was seven.
Seven now cut down to five. And then for that slot, we let a slot as part of our affirmative action and social inclusive policy for certain discriminated or disadvantaged groups. And in this case, we talked about the female gender or people living with disabilities. Incidentally, we don't have anybody from the people living with disability group, the
vying for the office girls.
So we have the slot for the for the female. And also, incidentally, we have only one female going for the governorship position in the state. If we had two, they would have gone to the polls as well. So we have that space left for the only female candidate, you know, as part of our implementation of the
MGD. It was almost a unanimous decision since she's the only person.
Oh, yes. So it was unanimous. So that is how we came up with the fifth position, which is, so it's not based on whether she, doesn't matter which party she represented. It just happened that she is a Labour Party candidate. You know, so the first four, initial four, are the APC, the PDP, the SDP, and the Accord Party candidates. And then the Labour Party candidate made the five or the fifth position on the podium on that day.
All right, if you just tuned in, Nigeria Info, we're looking at the February 1 Rivers State Governorship Candidate Debate. And Nigeria Info, in collaboration with the Rivers Debate Group, will be having that debate on the 1st of February. So, yes, you'd want to listen to your five candidates. You just heard from my guest, Mazi, Mr. Mazi. When I just said Mazi, it sounded like chief.
Yes, it sounds like that.
He's smiling that way. You've heard him mention the parties involved, the APC, the PDP, the SDP, Accord Party, and the Labour Party. So these five candidates will be going in for the debate. But the big question is whether or not you think Nigerians really vote based on the performance of candidates during debates. Our guest has said, well, what you see at campaign grounds and rallies is not the how, it's just what I will do. But debates give you the chance to hear how these candidates intend to do those things that they've promised you. But their performance at the debate, does it influence how Nigerians vote? If you look at past debates we've had at the presidential and governorship level, you would say, well, some people still emerge winners of the elections, regardless of whether they were part of a debate or not. Some people even staged walkout from debates for several reasons, which will bring us to my next question before we go to the phone lines. Are all these candidates available and will they be present on February 1? We know you visited two already.
We have reached out to them before visiting them at the end of the polls, and they've given us their assurances that they will be there on the day of the debate. So based on the assurances, we have the confidence that they're going to be there. And also talking about why some past elections, some candidates didn't attend and then they still won. You see, sometimes, especially the last election, people wanted to vote out people. I see this time is a little bit different from the last ones because of the point we are in. We are in a precipice, and many Nigerians know that. And that if we fail this time around, it's going to be a huge problem, you know, in our hands. And so people want to get it right. And that is the reason why the debate this time around is going to impact seriously on the outcome of the elections.
Largely, you think?
Yes.
I mean, we still have, like you've mentioned, people are party loyalists and people who, would feel like, regardless of what happens, I'll vote for this person because he is from my place or their place. Is there some sort of arrangement to have these candidates aside from just having the debate, some agreement to ensure peace during, before and after the elections?
Oh, yes. It's good to mention that. We have a peace accord which our candidates will be encouraged to sign too. And, you know, sometimes when you have this kind of violence, the followers and party faithfuls look at the body language and the utterances of their principals. And so if we have their principals, you know, signing to a peace agreement and encouraging their party faithfuls and loyalists to eschew violence, it helps. It goes a long way, you know, to douse. Because right now, there's a tension in the air, you know, political tension in the air. And so when they speak you know, to those situations. And the responsibility now becomes on them, you know, to ensure that they are kind of their followers.
I remember that we've seen such agreements signed in the past and still had a handful amount of violence, not even, if not even more, in the state and in the country.
I remember in 2015 when we had this same peace accord signed. It went a long way to douse the attention that was in the air. We cannot rule out, you cannot say completely that we have one or two pockets of violence, but you know, to a large extent, you can see that it
will reduce. But this peace accords that are signed, are there consequences that comes after if maybe certain parties do not comply with the dictates of the accord?
Well, the Rivers Debate Group, we don't implement the law. You know, but it shows that a candidate who have signed to a peace accord and cannot control their faithfuls, it shows the kind of leadership that person will bring when it comes, if or when he gets to governance. So they are also very careful about that. But from past experiences, we have seen that the tension have been reduced as a result of the signing of the peace accord. And also, apart from peace accord, we also have a charter that we encourage our candidates to sign, you know, based on certain policy thrust, which we hope also that they're going to implement by when they get into governance on topical issues in the economy of the state. And so that also, I've seen it in time past, has helped, you know, in lifting up certain issues that are on the ball and the front burners in topical issues in the real estate.
All right. Let's listen to what was said by the chairman of the Rivers Debate Group, Ibifri Bob Manuel. Remember, Nigerian Third Firm, in partnership with the Rivers Debate Group, bringing you this governorship candidates debate on February 1. It means that you get to also hear the debate here. And we'll just keep you posted with all that comes with the event. But in the meantime, for those who are wondering, I know that Mr. Mazi had given a bit of an idea as to how the fifth candidate was picked, but this was what the chairman of the group, Ibifri Bob Manuel, said when the group formally invited the governorship candidate of Labour Party in Rivers State, Patricia Tubo, to participate in the upcoming debate.
You are the only female candidate, and we felt it would only be responsible on our part for us to exist and invite to you to be on that podium on that day so that we get a freshness of a different perspective completely from what the others would be looking at. And to that, your participation in this year's debate would give a different perspective, a broader perspective to issues around the state and how to develop River State. We look forward to seeing you participate.
And I'm pretty sure she obliged that she was going to be. I know this accord. You've seen Dumont, you've seen Labour Party. So these two are guaranteed to be present.
Yes, sure.
When we come back after the commercial, you tell us whether the others have given any guarantees or when you intend to visit them. And also perhaps the time the debate would start on February 1. And while many people are interested in seeing what happens, send your questions to us on WhatsApp and on social media. We'll go on a short break.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We are back and we are live on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. We are talking about the February 1 Rivers State Governorship Candidates Debate, put together by the Rivers Debate Group in collaboration with Nigeria Info FM. And my guest this morning in the studio is from Social Action, a partner as well to the Rivers Debate Group, Peter Mazi. And he's been answering questions with regards to Well, what do we expect in the debate? And there's still a lot more to answer. But first, I'll take a few messages on Facebook. Remember that you too can ask your questions or be a part of the conversation on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. At Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. Thangod Ability says, debate provides the electorate with an opportunity to assess the plans and capacity of candidates before the elections. Somebody asked, how many people listen to debates, especially in the rural communities? I think the politicians are emboldened because they feel that they get the votes from the rural areas and those communities. But how would you seek to engage those in the rural communities to participate in this debate and enlighten them to understand the importance of voting a candidate based on what they say or how they present their manifesto and plans during a debate?
The beauty of radio is that it goes beyond what people see. I'll give you an example. In 2015 debate, somebody called from one of the fishing ports that is in the rural community because they have their radio sets. You know, these days everybody have at least one form of radio in your phone.
That's why you're working with Nigerian Info.
Exactly. You know, so we have this thing going to the rural areas. And for this particular debate, it's not just on TV. It's going to go on radio. And with the kind of jingles and the kind of sensitization that we're having, you know, even those in the rural areas know about this debate. And so they can also hook in.
But you, aside from the radio, and yes, we know that we're working in collaboration together, has there been extra steps taken? Perhaps some, for many people, they feel that's where we should get it right, at the grassroots, because that's where the politicians go to. And so the state of some of the communities in the local government areas across the state has been a concern for many people. And they're asking now, this debate, where is it focusing on? What kind of conversations or questions, in what areas are the questions coming from? Where would be the focus?
Okay, there is no focus. And like I said, okay, we have, apart from the media committee, we also have the question formulation committee who are responsible for getting the questions. And the questions, we have people in different sectors of the economy and groups as well, like the NMA from the medical sector.
Okay.
We have NUJ, you know, as journalists. We have chambers of commerce and industry, you know, and education as well. Over 50 groups, you know, in River State, outside River State, who have been, you know, consulted to send in questions. So there's hardly, in fact, there's no sector or subsector in the economy, you know, that is not represented, you know, in getting those questions. So these questions are not from, well, I don't even know the question. None of us know the questions. As I speak, the questions are gotten, will be sealed on the day of the debate. It will be, you know, it will be unsealed, and then the moderators will have them. So any sector you want to think of, you know, you have questions from them, and so there's no fear that you don't have, you know, a representation from any part of it.
Okay, the number to call for you to ask questions or make a contribution, 070-0923-0923 is the number to call. On Facebook, Ibibia Fineman says, the issue with the debate now is that the resolutions candidates make are not binding. After making all manner of promises, they will abandon everything when they're elected into office. This is a challenge for voters to decide who to vote based on the outcome of debates. Okay, but I'm pretty sure our campaign rallies is also similar things that they say and people vote for those reasons. So if from the contribution of Fineman now, if people are saying, okay, if we vote based on what they are saying, they might still end up not doing anything. So what are the yardstick then are people voting candidates for? Why do you think people vote candidates? Okay. Aside those that might not believe in the debates as a tool to assess whoever they want to see govern them.
Now, okay, when we look critically at some of the policy trusts of our intended governors, or any leadership position at all, you see that their takes are different. So for instance, even abroad, maybe a group, a marginalized group, want to see how the policy, maybe the foreign policy is, or how the policy is on agriculture. So for a farmer, for instance, he wants to know how the policy will impact on his business, farming business. So he might not be concerned with whether you construct roads or that you build schools. His own might just be particularly on how his investment in agriculture will not lose his investment. So there are different, reasons why people want to vote. Now, when it comes to debates and rallies, in a rally, somebody comes and says, "I want to do all this," and goes home and put clap for him. And it comes to a debate, and he says the same thing, and they ask him, "How do you intend to do that?" And he fumbles. You will see that people will understand that, well, this is what you want to do. But
then the worry is, even if he says how he's going to do it and gets into office and doesn't do it, what happens?
But it tells you that the person understands the difference between understanding and the capacity. So if you understand something, that's the first step. So you must understand how you intend to get. If you employ somebody to teach your children, for instance, say, take them on a tutorial and ask them, okay, how many subjects you want to take? Physics, math, chemistry. And then it's okay, what is the first principle of thermodynamics, for instance? And the person cannot answer you, a teacher. Then you know from that instant that this teacher cannot. But teaching the child to understand it is a different thing.
All right, let's get
but
to
understanding is one thing.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have some callers waiting. Magnus is in mile 3 at the moment. Hello, Magnus. Good morning. Okay, let's go to Echi Lugard. Good morning to you.
Yes, Andrew, if you hear me, I agree to specialty.
Morning.
I'm Lugaman from Echi. Yes, okay. Peter Max, I agree to you, sir.
Lugaman, good morning.
Yes, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
One, does debate make someone to win election? That is number one action. Number one question. Number two, we are in the rural area. As I'm talking to you now, I'm calling you all the way from Eche, Apoku in Eche. And so many of our people are in the farm as I'm talking to you now. Then, how will they participate or listen to debate that is going on? Number two. Number three, I am one man that never believed that the debate wins election. Because some candidates can come up with a lot of manifestos, tell you cock and bull stories, tell you what and what they will do. But if elected into office, all those things they promise you, they will not do them. So for me, telling us about debate, I know it's the beauty of politics, the beauty of the game, at least to make some persons maybe feel as if or listen to what is happening. But for me, as a person, debate does not win election. And debate is unnecessary because there is no scorecard for anyone that comes first. Thank you, Lugaman, for making it.
All right, Lugaman, thank you. He thinks debates are unnecessary. Well, it's a question we asked earlier when we started the conversation, whether or not the emphasis on debates are worth it. Does it influence how Nigerians vote, regardless of the performance of a candidate during a debate? And well, Lugaman thinks different. Temple is on the line from Eneka. Good morning, Temple.
Yeah, good morning, Tim.
Morning to you.
Yeah, my question is not too different from the messages you've read and this thing, but in a different way. I want to ask your guest, are they intending to go further than what has been in the past? In the past, it's been come, tell us what you're going to do, and it ends there. During the last debate, the present administration promised one outstanding thing, that every annual budget will be on the public view. But we know that from the year of entry into office, nothing like that had happened. Now, is it, come and tell us anything and go, is the debate group not intending to go beyond there to put a mechanism in place in which what they say they are going to do, they'll be traced to it in case they violate, so that they know that it is not just a kind of play they are coming in for. It's a serious game. So that if there's any form of violation, there's something that will trigger them to tell them that, look, you promised the people this and you have not done it. So are they intending to do that, or it just as usual, come and tell us they are going to do it, are you going to do
it? All right, Temple.
And off they go.
Thank you. Get your point. Let's go to Troba now. Namdi on the line. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
You're welcome.
A quick one. First, I do not know how the organizers of debate came to the conclusion that Mrs. Beatrice is the only female candidate running for governorship election, because I do know that Wantonto Dike was flying the flag of a certain party.
I think she's a deputy. She's a deputy.
Oh, is really?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then secondly, the chairman, when he visited Beatrice, talked about her bringing a broader perspective to the debate. Andrew, does not, in my view, that smacks of bias. Ahead of a debate, you are also telling the public that somebody is going to bring a broader perspective to the debate. I expect that and the organizers, you know, should be far from prejudice or biases. So that, for me, that singular expression, doesn't go down well with me. I don't know how the person in the is going to tackle that.
All right, Namdi, I think same thing would have been said. If same thing is said to all the candidates, you wouldn't call it bias at the time, because I'm sure when the visit to Dumolulu Briggs was said, comments in similar lines were also made.
Yeah.
But then, just for more clarity, Mr. Mazi, how would you address some of the questions that's been asked?
Okay, let me start from the last one. We visit these candidates and encourage them. Some of these statements are meant to encourage them to bring in their best. And if you look at, he picked out one statement and it's quoting out of context. The context which he said is, okay, yes, we have all four out of the five candidates.
Four male.
And that as a woman, we're hoping that you're going to bring something different. For the reason that you are chosen outside the polls shows that you are given a wild card. And that wild card should afford us to have something different, or something different from what we have. And that is why he made that statement. Well, you may say bias. That's what they call positive bias. Positive bias is affirmative action. And that name for affirmative action. It shows that it tries to balance up groups that have been otherwise marginalized.
Mm.
You know, and that is what, you know, the visit to
The Labour Party, candidate was about.
You know,
about. All right, let's go to mile three now. Kwate, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
You're welcome.
And your best to you.
Good morning.
I just want to commend the organizers of this debate. I think you should give the privilege and the honor to all the candidates of the various political parties to be able to showcase what they have, what they can offer to Rivers people. I think Rivers will know already the trajectory of what is happening in the state, and the candidate that is very credible, very competent, and has the technical know-how about governance in the state. And those are the candidates Rivers who would like to work with, Rivers who would like to associate with. Looking at the candidates in the other hand, I think that of the PDP, which is in Fubara, Rivers who are eager to hear from him, to know what exactly he would like to do for Rivers. When it comes to consolidation, he has been talking about consolidation. What exactly will he be consolidating on? Is it on the unemployment? On the pensioners that have not been paid. So all those things to put into consideration during the debate. Look at the SDP candidate, which is Mr. Manu Singeyabe, who has been very provocal and is very active in campaigning and has been aligning things that he will do for Rivers if elected come and election day. So I think Rivers will have an opportunity to be able to look at these candidates and ask them questions that will help Rivers to develop.
All right, Carter, thank you very much. Let's go to Abaro now. Kelechi, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah, my concern is on this level of political violence. Is this debate also going to capture political violence? Are there going to be questions that will be thrown at the candidates on how they will mitigate or talk to their supporters and followers to put an end to political violence? Because in recent times, we have been hearing of bombings, explosions, shooting at other parties. And it's not healthy for our democracy. We've seen in the past when politicians vehemently refuse to come for debate. At the end of the day, they find their way in office. I don't know how they do it, whether they rig elections or they manipulate the process and get into office, and they're not able to do anything for the people. We've seen cases of empty promises, not fulfilled. You understand?
All right,
how do we address the issues? This debate, is it going to also look at the violent level of our policies?
All right, Kelechi, thank you very much. Before you respond to those questions, I'll add this to it. WhatsApp soon says, thanks for the medium to hear from these five candidates before the election, but what are the organizers of the event doing to reach out to other governorship candidates from other parties that will not be at the debate so they don't feel cut off even before the election? That's one. Another person here says, and how will you come to the conclusion that Beatrice will bring a broader person? I think this could be who called. He was talking about Tonto Dike. Tonto Dike is a deputy. This one says, are the organizers of the debate making profit from the debate, or are they doing it for humanity's sake? Well, I can tell you Nigeria Info is a part of it, so it's humanity's sake. I hope the debate group did invite the PDP governorship candidate. Well, all the candidates are going to be invited officially. So far, two have been invited, and I'm sure the team will be going around to invite all the others. We only have less than 2 minutes, and I need you to react to some of the questions that were raised by the callers. And importantly, would we see a debate for the deputy governorship candidates?
Oh, we wish we could do that, but time and resources constrain us from doing that. So we just reached ourselves to the resources we have to conduct a gubernatorial. So just for the better candidates.
Okay.
And just to Temple had asked what we would do if the candidates don't live up to their promises. Now, what we do is to provide a platform for Rivers people. Now, I want Rivers people to understand that the highest seat is a seat of the citizens of Nigeria. It is responsibility of citizens. We should not be docile. It's the responsibility of citizens to hold our elected representative, you know, to account. You have not just the states, from local government to the state, they are public servants. So we should ask them questions. The reason why we're doing this is so that everybody will know, different groups, special groups, citizens who understand what they have said that they're going to do. So if they enter into government, into the elected positions, and they don't live up to these promises that they make to Rivers people, not to the group. They don't make it to Rivers, the Rivers debate group. They made it to Rivers people. To Rivers people will stand up and say, you said X, Y, Z, and you've not done it. Why haven't you done that? That responsibility is of the Rivers people and not of the debate group. But of course, we have some a charter that we want them to sign to, which will speak to some of the developmental areas we want.
Okay.
But the general responsibility of holding them to account is the responsibility of the citizens of Nigeria. And we should not allow them lord over us. They are public servants, like the word goes. And literally, you know, they are. So we should be able to hold them to account if they fail to meet up to AYZ of the promises. That
is there a time yet for this debate on the 1st
of February?
Oh, yes,
1st of February. We're going to make it's going to be, it's a closed one, so everybody won't be at the Presidential Hotel, which is going to be the venue.
But
of
they can
the,
listen.
Yeah, we can listen. Oh. You can listen online, you can listen to radio, you can listen to TV. So there is no restriction. Arise TV will be it live. So everywhere, every medium you have, your small phone, listen to radio.
Yeah, time?
The time will be in maybe from 3 o'clock or thereabouts.
Okay. All right, Nigeria Info, in partnership with the Rivers Debate Group, bringing you that debate February 1. So you know what that means. You get to listen to it live here on radio as well. We'll be furnishing you with more details as we make progress. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Thank you very much, Mazi, for your time.
Thank you for me.